This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is the best. Things are moving and shaking in the real estate market in Memphis, despite what may be going on nationally. You know, sometimes local trends are different than national trends, and you still need to make the most money for your home. And the best way to do that is to get with the team at the Live Love Group. Jennifer Carson, her team, going to make sure you get the most money for your home, but you got to reach out, SoloLiveLoveMemphis.com.
Yep, she's the best. John's right. It's the best way to describe her. And she's the best. Not just making Memphians happy, hopefully with great ownership situations, but in terms of our business, the way it is built, it's been built on a great principle that is getting you in a great home ownership situation. That's her way of improving this city, getting you out of renting situations. That rent is going to keep going up, 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 and nobody's equity is going up except the landlord's, not yours. That's why she wants to get you in a home, but only if it's a good situation for you, and if it is. If there is a good one, she's going to find you the path. So make the call, 901-625-5200 at the very least. Like I like to say, she's going to be a great resource for you. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
Trista Crick is going to join us at 1:25, and we'll talk to her, obviously, about the NBA, about her thoughts on the Grizzlies, and just kind of catch up, generally speaking. But we're going to go over a lot of the same stuff we've already talked about. It's that time of year in the rundown, but we do it every day. Let's do it. All right, Lakers go down to the Timberwolves in five. I don't know if you saw Brian Windhorst's spiel on J.J. Redick. I think it's probably worth I might send this over to you in the 92.9 DM. George, can you get that? You have access to that? Or you want me to send it to you in the personal?
Send it to mine, please. Right. If you could.
But I thought he kind of vocalized, you know, a lot of a lot of how you and I felt about the situation. Now, granted, he is a first-time head coach. This is his first playoff series. But, you know, there were definitely some mistakes made along the way. And I thought it was another reminder that what you see in the regular season is very different than the playoffs. It's two different seasons because the Lakers were rolling. I mean, they got all the way to the three seed. And we weren't talking about, oh, they don't have bigs. We weren't saying that, right? We were saying that this team has got new life with Luka and LeBron. But then you get to the playoffs, and I guess matchups matter. But it was exposed. It got exposed that, you know, they had real issues roster-wise, and those could not be addressed. Do we have that audio from Windhorst?
All queued up.
Let's have a listen.
Yeah, no more excuses necessary for the Lakers. But that if your point was question marks we had on Redick were legit and fair criticisms, then yes, he echoed our sentiments.
Yes. you know, that's you know, a big part of it. I don't think it would have been different with Darvin Ham. I don't think it was one of those deals like, oh, if Darvin Ham could have schemed him to. I do think, again, JJ's stubbornness about Jackson Hayes and the big man was not helpful probably. But would Jackson Hayes have been able to stop Gobert last night?
Jackson Hayes doesn't need to stop Gobert. He just needs to get LeBron off of him.
Yeah.
That it's like he said, it's childish because you've decided this guy can't help you, that you're going to put, you know, Kleba out there, guy who hadn't played. And what it left was everything on LeBron. Johnny played center. And so it wasn't about Jackson Hayes going and being good. It was about using that body, right, to give LeBron a break and take some of this pressure off of him. Look how many minutes the guy logged at 40. He blew this.
Right.
Playing the guys the whole half the game before. It's absolutely ridiculous. But it's when you couple it with the arrogance about the decisions that JJ, who clearly has had a disdain for the media, maybe it goes back to his days as a player. I don't remember. Seems to me like most of the time it was great answers and everything else. But once he got in the media, it was about correcting everybody there. And now that he's a coach and getting the question shot at him, again, feeling above them, I don't need to answer your questions. These are legit, fair questions, criticisms of a poor job that you did. Yep. He's going to have to come to grips with that.
No doubt.
Remember, the whole thing is, I mean, him and LeBron did the podcast, John, to educate us on basketball. I mean, that's what he comes, and he's going to have to come out of that that air, you know, come on back down to planet Earth if he's going to be able to, you know, look in the mirror here and say, I didn't contribute at all in terms of positively to what we were going to do. Again, in the end, it's kind of like Wendy said, your roster, everything's flawed. Minnesota may have come out, but you made this easier for them with some of your decision-making. If you're not going to come to grips with that, then you shouldn't be the coach. That just shows you're not going to be somebody that can adjust, take accountability. Those types of guys typically don't win big.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You can't be pop off top, bro.
Right.
Where you get to cut off every reporter, shouldn't be questioned. You haven't won anything. And, again, you know, hopefully, you know, LeBron thought this was an answer to their problems. They both did. They're out in five.
Yep. So, I mean, look.
Pretty embarrassing, I would say. If I'm JJ, I'm just looking in the mirror. You got nobody else to blame other than. You can say your roster sucked. You didn't try to even play. What are you doing?
Well, the roster didn't suck when they got all the way to the 3 seed.
What? How are you playing? You're the only person like this era that's ever played all of his starters the entire second half in a playoff game. You think that's smart?
Yeah.
That's the dumbest thing we've ever seen.
I agree.
And so childish is probably, I didn't go that far before we heard Wendy, but it's probably correct. The arrogance, the childishness on going away from Jackson Hayes, you putting all that on 40-year-old LeBron that could be play center for you? Did you hear LeBron not answer the question essentially about playing center? He said no comment.
Yeah, because he said AD said what he needed and he got shipped out the next week.
Yeah, he made it light and funny, but the point was his guy, I mean, even LeBron couldn't defend that. The fact that you got him playing center the entire series mostly because you won't even throw these bigs out there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think this is a moment where if you're JJ – You got two ways you can approach this. You could approach this saying that my way is right and my truths I hold are self-evident. Or you could say, hey, I got some things I can learn on this job.
Well, he ran LeBron to the ground. And the truth is, if he wants to be the Lakers coach going forward and into the future, he needs to ask himself, with the Mr. Basketball, do everything right sort of air that he comes from, is Luka Doncic the guy I want to build this around? Because remember all the questions about Luka, motivation, we already see the health issues, but just whether or not he's going to stay in shape. This is going to have to be reformed and restructured around him going forward. If you're going to be a coach of that, you got to decide if you can do it with Luke or not, because you know, I mean, you're always going to have a flaw if he's your main guy defensively, structurally. That roster is going to have to make up for that. And I don't know, just coming from the high mountaintop, he always seems to, I would think that, you know, if Luka doesn't get it in gear in terms of the type of player, what he's going to do in the offseason, his commitment level, then, you know, this is a player JJ's going to, you know, you got in this for LeBron.
Right.
You didn't get in this for Luka, even though we'd all say, man, they got a future now. My point is that, you know, he may just not be an NBA coach.
Right.
This was moonlighting with his buddy, and he got exposed is what he got. He's a smart NBA guy. It doesn't make you a great NBA coach.
Right. Right.
And
no, it doesn't.
That was the reckoning we sort of saw with him this year.
Because there are a lot of people who are smart about the game of basketball.
Come on, man.
Right? I mean, a lot of guys have played it. A lot of guys are junkies. Like, that's the easy part is knowing the game of basketball, right? Knowing what a, you know, knowing how to, you know, when to adjust to a zone or, you know, what type of screens on the base. You know, that's all. Like, Rob Doster can do that. Like, he can break down a play, but and I'm just using Rob as an example, but you see what I'm saying? Like, anybody that played Division III basketball can break down the game of basketball. in an intelligent way. The difficulty at the coaching level professionally is like, okay, can you adjust when you have to adjust? Can you remove your ego from it? Can you reach players? Can you, how are your substitution patterns? Like your awareness, like all those things in game, by the way, like you have to react to these things live. You have to know how to deal with the media. You have to do, and so I don't think JJ is a bad NBA coach. I don't know if I feel like he's a good one. I don't really know where I come down on him. It feels like it's hard to separate the coach from LeBron a lot of the time, because David Blatt, like, never got another gig, who was it? He had Mike Brown at the beginning of his career, right, in Cleveland. Mike Brown's been okay. I guess he was the coach of the year a couple of years ago with Sacramento. Spoelstra, good coach, but LeBron helps. LeBron helps. He elevates you as a coach. So it's hard to, separate the two. Luka leaves Jason Kidd. They don't look so good. NBA really, you're only as good as your players a lot of the time.
By making no adjustments and playing everybody, the main five or six that he did, not going to any of those subs, man, he was essentially really just trying to toss the blame up to Pelinka too for the rest of the roster. I mean, you don't even try. It's a babyish way of trying to make your point.
Yeah,
it's not, if I'm Rob Pelinka, I'm looking like, bro, you're not even going to try Jackson Hayes here to slow Rudy down? He's eating us alive.
Yep.
He and Randall. That, again, childish in the way that you wouldn't come off of that. And so, again, I would have serious question marks about his arrogance preventing him from growing as a coach and in the kind of championship coach that you need, especially if you're looking towards a future with him that has Luka Doncic at the center of it and not LeBron James, which eventually here, very soon, it will be.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the Lakers piece of it. Minnesota has to love where they're at because – I think the series with Golden State and Houston probably ends tomorrow, but who knows? You just never truly know. That game last night, by the way, was so weird.
You might as well hit next door. Yeah, we could approach it any way you want to. I was looking at it through the lens of, well, Golden State shut down everything there.
Yes.
And preserved their guys for the next game, probably giving me even more reason to believe they'll close this down. But what do you think about their charge? And I think their broadcaster is the guy who's like publicly voiced it. But nobody said this is what they're doing in terms of on the team, it feels like. But I think Draymond Green went as far as to say, you know what it is. They're going after Steph's thumb and they're hitting it. And Steph was complaining about it last night in terms of with his body language and everything else. It's one of the big stories. Dylan Brooks was asked about it after the game, about 8:20. It's Dylan Brooks that's flying at him and hits it. I think maybe Shingun was as well. But that's the talk about it. Like, I would ask you on this, is that fair game? Is it, you know, a guy's got an injury. You know how important Steph Curry is to him. They're talking about how, you can hit a guy after he's shot and not be a foul. And how Houston is taking advantage of that.
Yeah, no, I think Dylan Brooks basically admitted that he's doing it. I mean, he said last night, I mean,
kind of a no contest or was it more of a, yes, I am doing that?
He said, if I had an injured ankle, I would attack that ankle every single time.
I mean, it's pretty much a.
So whatever they're saying on their broadcast, they can keep saying it.
The broadcast guy was the guy who initially voiced it. It's kind of being attributed to him. So the team isn't saying out loud to the NBA, we're getting, they're going after Steph here.
Yeah.
But what they've done is co-signed.
But yeah, I mean, there's been multiple videos of it.
Is it fair? Is it fair game? Is it within bounds? Is the way to ask that question?
I mean, I think it
when you're in the playoffs,
it's just going to happen. You're on the court, right?
Do you respect it?
I mean, I don't know if I'd say I respect it, but I understand the it's about edges, right? And the margins are so thin that if you can take anything by just a little swipe, which Dylan has been doing for the entirety of the series, you're going to do it. Again, I think it's dirty, but if you kind of have to force the refs to call it, right? Like, if you guys don't call it, why would I not do it? I mean, it's just an edge. Steph Curry is the greatest shooter that's ever lived.
That was basically his response to it. Refs got to call it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really – and I'm sure, honestly, that they'll be looking for that.
They will,
Now. Last night just got so out of hand from the jump. I mean, it was 26-8 before you could even blink. Mm-hmm. And then, I think from the Warriors' perspective, even the broadcast talking about, they came back after half. And I think they were like, they're going to give this 5 minutes and see if they can cut this lead down, and then they're going to shut it down.
That's
and they
why,
did.
That's why I feel like, man, you can't let it go back to Houston for a game seven.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's
because they could get off to a red-hot start, man, and all of a sudden you're trying to dig out of a hole. But I think I'm with you that this thing ends.
Yeah, I mean, they're 4.5
Kerr was smart. You know what they're doing anyway. They're going after his thumb. They could hit it again. And so getting them out and shutting it down and realizing this one's, I thought, you know, smart tactic for the most part.
Yeah, no, I again, it's if
especially if they're going after your guy, and we all seem to acknowledge that it sounds like we agree that they are.
And I you know, and I just kind of think, like, ultimately,
you got to preserve as much Jimmy and those guys as much as you can, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think the officials need to, like, the responsibility lies with them to protect players that are dealing with injuries, you know, within reason. I'm not saying call a foul every time, because, like, Luka hit Randall's hand last night, and they initially called the foul, but then the Lakers challenged and they overturned it. So not every
the
time.
NBA, I mean, it's stated as long as the contact is made after the shot is
right,
released,
right,
they don't have to call foul.
So, I mean, and
but
that's.
But don't referees sort of, I mean, don't you have to, if you sense that they're out and they're doing it on purpose, is that not, it's a foul.
Yeah.
Is it not?
I mean, I think if it's a situation where there's a video out there of Dylan Brooks where the shot has been released probably for 2 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and Dylan's not even looking at the flight of the ball, he's still looking at Steph's
hand.
He's just
trying to hit the hand.
He's trying to swipe it.
Yeah, they'll send those to the NBA. They'll be all over it first time they do it, in the next one.
Now
they call
that I think needs to be.
I'm sure, like, Golden State's sending all that.
Police
has
right?
already sent all that video up.
And they need to be looking out for that. But you know, look, this is going to be life for Steph. I mean, in this series, it's going to be his life, and in the next series, it's going to be until that thumb, and if that thumb heals, and
it's not healing.
Yeah,
this has been all year long. It had gone away, and then he said he gets hit again, so it's been for a while.
Yeah,
I think, according to the story.
So, but it was a very strange thing, because, you know, the Rockets, I don't remember what their biggest lead was. I want to say it was like 30.
January is when he first sustained the injury.
Yeah. So he's just been dealing with it all year,
long time.
But they had cut it all the way to, like, you know, 13 last night with like 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So it was weird, because Kerr took out Steph and Jimmy and Draymond and everybody with like 6 minutes left in the third quarter when it was like a 25-30 point game. Like, he's like, listen, I'm not going to dog these guys out for a you know, where we fall short of a valiant effort here. We're not doing that. We can go back home, close it out in six. But then the bench came in and cut it to 13 with, like, 5 minutes. So it was a very awkward, like, Steph had taken his ankle brace off, then he had put the ankle braces back on, and the commentary was like, all right, are they going to try to, like, do this? Are they going to try to – he put Buddy Hield back in the game, so that was one starter. Like, all right, are the rest coming? And ultimately the Rockets, I think, did. The Rockets had to put their starters back in. That was the key. They had, like, all the bench guys, like Reed Shepard was out there, Tari Eason, Aaron Holiday, Jabari Smith, all those guys were out there. And then when they let it get to 13, and all Sengun, Brooks, Thompson, Van Vliet, and Jalen Green all came back in and had to close the damn game. It was really, really weird. But you can't take chances, right? Like, if you're Ime Udoka in an elimination game, you cannot take chances of blowing a 13-point lead. You got to close it with your starters. But it was very strange. It was like, are they going to try to go steal this one with putting Jimmy and Steph back in? And ultimately, it didn't get that close. But
ESPN story points out that this was almost exactly the same predicament in 2022 when Golden State had the 3-1 lead on us. We win 134-95 in game five at Memphis.
Yep.
Remember, they trailed by 55 in the third quarter of that game. And then they, pull guys, go on to win the next one, close it out, go on to win the title back in 2022. But it was the same, similar situation, 3-1 lead, you know, got blown out in game five at their place. Come back, close it out.
Yep.
I could see that happening here.
Absolutely right. All right, let's talk a little Memphis basketball recruiting. We're obviously waiting on the decision, which that will not probably come until the end of the month on PJ would be my guess, just because he's going to go through the draft process. You have things you're going to have to do. but in the meantime, according to Hitman Hoops, the University of Memphis has reached out and had some discussions with former MUS Montverde guard Curtis Givens III, who was at LSU, who spent his season last year, his freshman year at LSU, and there is legitimate interest from Memphis's side. CG3 is hearing from Maryland, Ole Miss, Miami, Iowa, USC, Georgia, Villanova, Wake Forest, West Virginia, Texas A&M, BYU. So,
I don't even think I'd realized he'd gotten the portal.
Yeah, he did enter the portal.
I don't know that we talked
about that. Because they took Deedon Thomas, the kid from UNLV. They gave him $2 million, which is crazy, but that's what he got. Curtis Givens averaged 4.8 points, 1.6 assists last year as a true freshman in the SEC. I mean, that should be said. Very difficult to play as a freshman in that league. So, you know, listen, I don't know what the interest is from Curtis's side. I mean,
you would imagine it's pretty fairly high considering how close Memphis was there.
Yeah, they were the finalists. Yeah.
Penny had him in the car on a visit and everything.
Yeah. But, you know, it is interesting, like, because he's a point guard. CG3 is definitely a point guard. He's going to be a guy that has to have the ball in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Doug McDaniel. So.
I can tell you right now, and I'm sure you would go with me on this would be about having your guy of the future. You would be telling Curtis that you're our future point guard.
Yeah.
We need you to stay at home and commit to not 1 year, but multiple here.
Yeah.
And we will hand you the keys.
Right. Next year in 2025, 2026.
26, 27.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because 25, 26 will be Doug.
Yeah.
And you will be a contributor to this team.
Yeah.
And you'll be a 2 year starter running things.
Yeah. A hometown hero.
And we've said Penny needs continuity. He needs guys that stay so he's not having to fill so many holes. And so my guess would be that's Memphis's sort of vision of this.
Not that Curtis comes in
and competes for a job right now. What you want him is to buy in.
Well, I mean, you obviously let him if it happens.
My point is you're set.
It's a vision.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
That this is yours.
Yeah.
We're going to hand you the keys. We want to have you in here for a year, develop you, you know, Penny Hardaway style.
Well, because
you take over.
The reality is, all these other schools, it's going to be the same situation. I mean, you know, BYU, you're not playing in front of Dibansa and the guys they have, right? You know, if you are starting at these other schools, you know, obviously, I don't know. Like USC is going after, you know, USC got Chad Baker Mazzara. You know, Ole Miss has a bunch of guards. They're going after PJ Haggerty. You know, Maryland's got a bunch of so. You're going to have competition anywhere you choose to go.
How many years Tedford got? Is it three?
He was a freshman last year.
That's
too.
What I'm saying. I mean, those guys were all sort of same time. Memphis is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I could see Penny. These are the ones you're going to be keeping. You know, you're hoping, as we've talked about, getting to more of the type of continuity that Houston and Auburn have.
Yeah.
Less holes to fill every offseason.
Right.
I would love Curtis Givens as sort of that.
Yes.
But you would need the understanding. And, John, it's hard to get that from a guy.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's how do you ask a guy to go, you know, hey, this is for 2 or 3 years now in a world where you can, right. I mean, in a world where, you know, the next year you can bail out and maybe get a better situation. But I would hope that they would be committed to that. And let's just be real, too. He'd be home. And there is something about coming home, being back in your old bed and all that stuff, too, that maybe makes it a little bit more worth, okay, well, if the time isn't there this year, you know, yeah, I expect to be part of the rotation, but if the time in there this year is a starter, then it's the next couple of years after that I take over as the starter. That's how I would envision him. We know how badly Penny wanted him coming out of high school.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say, like, I stayed
in that recruitment.
I think, like, the days of, you know, and you can't look him in the face and say you can't promise him a role because that would be a lie.
You have all these older players and you have to win now.
That would be a lie.
That's not stopped.
So I think it's going to be an uphill battle for Penny in that way, you know, to because all these other schools probably
everybody's
tell him
telling
what he wants
him
to,
play now. Yeah. That's what you're battling.
But you know, like Penny's not going to lie to Curtis Givens III, right? Like, or his dad, like he's not going to do that. And I think everybody can look at the roster and figure that out anyway. So I don't know. I would say it's probably not likely, but you know, I would love to see it. I'd love to see if there's a world where you know, he could come here and do exactly like you said, you know, be a multi-year guy and
got to have those,
have
man.
The keys.
Seems
right?
Like Tedford's got that sort of, you know, maybe you got Ashton for a couple, you know, at least.
Well, and the reality is, and this is kind of what we talked about with PJ and the residuals, right? Like the AAC, we hate the AAC. We hate talking about the AAC. We hate when it turns to that schedule. But the reality is that these dudes do eat in the AAC.
Well, you get a bump.
PJ Haggerty went from a, you know, freshman of the year, you know, at Tulsa in the AAC to a consensus second team All-American. Like, that's still out here for you if you average 20 plus a game, which, you know, that you can do that in the American, bro. These teams are dog teams. So, I mean, I think that's, but because, you know, honestly, there's no limit. there's no limit to how many times you can transfer, that he doesn't really need to do that to Memphis, right? He could just say, listen, I'm going to go somewhere where I can play, and then in a year, right, I can just come back. I mean, that's the unfortunate
part.
But
how many other of the schools on the list look like go and play right away places in reality?
Not really any.
Based on the numbers that he had last year at LSU?
I don't think there's a ton, bro, because...
That's what I'm saying. You may as well just go
Texas A&M.
Get invested somewhere as opposed to...
Maryland, Ole Miss,
You know, looking for right now, being on the floor in a situation might be bad for you.
Yeah.
Even if you are.
Yeah.
You know Penny's got your back. You know, he's going to invest in you in terms of development. And probably sees you as a guy, the way he came after you out of high school, out of Montvert, sees you as a guy who could be the point guard of the future for this program.
Yeah.
As a Memphian. You know, Penny loves his Memphis point guards.
Yeah, like Maryland, they got Miles Rice coming in. They got Isaiah Watts coming in.
Yeah.
Problem
for him, everybody's got older dudes coming in. And a lot of places, older guys than you that are more experienced, have more numbers. May as well go somewhere where you get a fresh start and, there's a true belief in you in terms of as the guy that's going to hold the keys.
That's exactly
at some
right.
point.
That's exactly right. By the way, I did not even know this. I'm just looking at, because Borzillo has the rosters and stuff, and, because it's actually a great tool. He's assembled all the rosters currently for all the big-time teams.
Yep.
Jaws Litigate, I don't know what his sewer or whatever, I don't even know.
Holloway.
Yeah, he transferred A&M.
Yeah.
He went
out of Stanford.
Yeah. I missed that.
Yeah. I had missed Curtis's.
He did average 8 a game last year at Stanford.
I mean, doesn't everybody on that team average about 20 points or
something?
They would score 120
plays, yeah.
with that buckyball.
Yep.
He's actually a little athletic.
Yeah.
Quite an athletic player.
I mean,
Joshua Holloway.
And he's a Memphis guy, and he's, at Texas A&M.
Yeah, he'll dunk on you.
That's a that's a pretty nice spot, bro.
Yeah, I wonder how much he'll be. How quickly he can get involved in that rotation. That's a step up, obviously.
It is. Yeah,
in weight class.
I think he's got a chance though because
when you average 8 at Samford, what is it when you step up in weight class? What's that going to equate to?
He's in terms of the guys they've brought in at Texas A&M, and they need more players. But he's fourth, in terms of on the points per game. So. He should have a chance. Yeah, it's not great. Not great.
Bro, he's going to the SEC?
Yeah. A&M's probably going to be bad.
He's about to bump up. He's about to This is a different weight class. We're going to see if he's good.
A&M's
how
be,
good he really is.
They're going to be rough because their best player is McKenzie Ngbako from Indiana.
Now, in his defense, I think, Bucky plays all of his guys, so maybe those numbers go up when Holloway gets more time. But
yeah.
If I'm depending on Joshua Holloway at Texas A&M, woo.
Yeah. Probably won't be a great year for them in the SEC, first-year coach. But I guess they're trying to see a vision. Anyway, Curtis Givens, we might have more Memphians. I wouldn't bank on it, but, at least Memphis is in the mix with him.
What happened to his old teammate, Rashawn, remember at MUS?
Oh, Rashawn King? I don't think he ever...
No, I'm not saying he got to that, but is he somewhere? We'll get a whole reunion. Get Tedford up in here. All the Memphis guys from that point.
Yeah, I don't think.
Did he just fall off? He's somewhere, bro. He's some. I mean, maybe not Division I,
Didn't he change in his last name something else? Didn't he change his last name? I mean, I don't remember.
It was R with apostrophe Sean King.
Yeah.
Him and Curtis were at MUS together.
R. Sean King.
Yeah, that's him.
Let's see where he's at Arkansas State.
There it is.
And
we probably won't be needing him then, or we'll wait.
I don't think he played.
And see what becomes of him.
Did he go to South Florida? Did dude bring him? It doesn't look like it.
Okay.
So
no, just quit. I thought you might know that one off the top of your head. I got one more. Did you see this scary situation at the in Pittsburgh at the Cubs Pirates game last night when as Andrew McCutchen, Pittsburgh Pirates outfielder, hit a 2-run double that put the Pirates up 4-3. A man had fallen from the Clemente wall. It's 21 feet high and right in the corner of right field while the play was happening. And so you had some players, I'm sure, in both dugouts.
Right.
After this happened, literally just focused on this man laying motionless on the warning track that had come off the Clemente wall, and apparently sitting right there behind it, This man is still in critical condition today, at least that I've seen from the latest news. And what it really got me to because you read the story, and I did. Two people have died since 2011 at Major League Baseball games, basically falling over rails. One was a father of a six-year-old back in 2011 who had leaned over the rail in Texas, and to catch a ball that was tossed into the stands, he falls over, died. Rangers raised the railing. It's like you would, I mean, right? I mean, of course they did. Braves. Had one. I don't know if you remember that, John. Back in 2015, a season ticket holder flipped over the guardrails from the upper deck, passed away. That my understanding is, and at least from the story, sounds like the rails weren't raised in that situation. That was a settlement. Braves end up settling. I'm bringing up the rails here because if you look at that Clemente wall right there, and there are seats right behind it, looks like they're nice little box seats right there. It doesn't look like there's anything.
Right.
And so it just, I realize the fans, especially sitting in those seats, have a responsibility to, behave, not, I mean, I'm just including this in case, not get overserved to a point that you're leaning over that thing, you don't even realize what you're doing, and you're falling over in a situation where most folks in their right mind, that railing is going to keep them in.
Yep.
I mean, there are situations like that with alcohol being served, obviously, with these fans. They don't even pay attention at that point. But this was scary deal. All the players, of course, this was the last of the scoring in the game because I can imagine, as many of the players said afterwards, you're not thinking baseball even though you've got to finish the game. No more runs were scored rest of the way. They played it out. But it was soulless for the most part because obviously you're concerned about whether or not this man's going to lose his life. We don't know much about him, or at least I haven't seen in terms of more of a description other than man, but a scary situation last night in Pittsburgh. And again, this one seems obvious. Just looking at it, I haven't been to PNC and seen this with my own eyes, but if you see the pictures, it doesn't look like there's anything there.
Yeah.
I mean, a slight raising of the rail. No, it's not going to prevent the drunkest of men from jumping over it when they're going crazy in there, but this thing looked like it might just be, yes. It looks like it might have only been a matter of time before something like this happened. Again, don't know the details, whether this man was just, completely inebriated and gone or not.
That would be my guess.
But obviously all eyes are going to be on the Pirates after we find out what happens here and whether they should, whether there is a need to raise it up or if you just had a situation here where – but, man, fans, can you imagine? I mean, fans dying in baseball games. You think ball hitting you.
Right.
That would be the way I would think about the foul ball line. Man, I was at the Cubs game on the 19th, and there was a sitting on the third base side right there. Still about 15 rows out, but a ball came in there, hit this. We thought it had hit this woman in the face. It actually hit. She had pointed to it. Actually hit the seat. It hit lower. But if it had hit her, yeah. But typically, that's what you think about. A flying bat we've seen sometimes, but guardrails since 2011. Two deaths and hopefully not a third here in Major League Baseball. So
that's a hell of a fall. I mean, he flipped like three times. I mean, he looks like he landed like right on like his neck.
I had not looked at. I saw a still picture of the cart that had come to get him. I had not looked at a live video of him falling.
Yeah. So I mean,
but that it's 21 feet high. Roberto wore 21. I mean, he's coming. It's coming. And there's no. There's literally, it doesn't look like there's any rail. Maybe there has to be something along
rail.
The wall.
He jumps, he
jumps off?
He jumped, there's a rail. There's a yellow rail there that he's launching himself over.
He's launching, then that's not a situation where you're going to have to raise it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a super high rail. It's easy to hurdle over, but.
Still, though, you're not going to raise that up because you have signs. And you're doing them for the common sense fan, not for the fan that's looking to. I'm going off your description of this catapult himself up, over it.
This dude was drunk, bro. Like he got excited when they got a hit.
I mean, I figured there's a good chance alcohol's involved. So
we
talk about it throughout the entirety of discussing this story.
There are people on Reddit who were in his section, who said that they were sitting five rows behind him. He was drunk. The inning before, he ripped his shirt off and poured half a beer all over himself. He jumped up from his seat when the Pirates got the hit.
He was hammered.
He jumped up so quick that he literally propelled himself off the ledge. He was there with his girlfriend and a friend and another lady.
He jumped up and propelled himself and jumping yes. up all out yes. of his seat?
Well, with the railing. I mean, I'll have to show you the video during the break, but, I mean, this is not an accident. Or this wasn't like a deal where I'm just going to jump at it. You know, it was an accident in that he did not intend, you know, to propel himself. But his drunkenness, you know, made that decision sort of for him. But yeah, I mean, so how high a fall can you survive as a human being?
You can survive 21 feet, depending on how you land.
Well, he landed on his neck, bro.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm assuming. So you land on your feet, yeah. You're probably gonna break something, but you're gonna live.
So
21 feet.
Falls from 20 to 30 feet or higher significantly increase the risk of severe injury or death.
Of course, you fall on your neck from 8 feet, you can break it. And I assumed it. You're talking about if he's in a drunken state, he's not landing like a cat.
No, he did not land
he's
like a cat.
He's coming down
bro.
On probably good chance he came down on his neck, especially if you're saying he catapulted himself over and you said flips. And
he flips.
So he's flipping. Bro,
he probably jumped up.
He broke his neck.
It probably so I think he caught him at the hips because we see this in football. You know, people get tackled at the hips, they do a flip, caught the railing at the hips or at the thighs, started rolling.
This one where this man died with his 6-year-old son back in 2011, that to me is just as a.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's.
Can you imagine that taking your son to the ball game? Now, that one, no. That one was only a ball that was tossed up into the.
Oh, that was the one in.
He did fall about 20 feet, but that was a deal. That was Rangers back in 2011. Braves had one in 15.
That's right.
And then.
Funny enough, both those ballparks that I don't use anymore.
In 2022, NFL game at Pittsburgh's. What do they call it now?
Acrisure.
Thank you, George. He died after a fall on an escalator.
Mm.
That was it. Just attack on. Certainly doesn't have anything to do with railings, but so much of this. It sounds like many of these. Just a deal where you get yourself overserved. But obviously, that was unfortunate situation last night. Pittsburgh still hoping this man can pull through. Sounds like
Yeah, I mean, I hope that he, you know.
Sounds like this was a deal where, you know, this something was bound to happen as overserved as he was.
That's why I don't.
If he's pouring beer on himself.
That's why I don't drink, bro. I just can't do it, man, because, you know, you may just throw yourself off the railing.
If you're an usher, like, what's the, you know, plenty of crazy stuff happens in left outfield. Folks get drunk, you do a beer snake, all that stuff. But when you see a man pouring a beer on himself and getting drunker and drunker, at what point is it on stadium personnel to say, okay, this is a problem that's escalated. We definitely got to stop serving him.
Yeah, no,
and
I mean,
we probably need to escort him out of here or make sure that the person he's with does. I mean, aren't you're there? They're working. Those ushers are standing there.
Yeah,
and you've got security at different points.
You're asking good questions. I don't have the answer.
My point: you just can't keep selling them beer. I'd say that.
Yeah, you're right. It's very fair. I mean, because stuff like that can't happen.
You said folks 5 rows right there said he's pouring beer, just acting a fool beforehand.
Yeah.
A lot of people sounds like they saw this coming.
Yep. Yep. Man, bad situation. And I hope he pulls through, and I hope he's not, like, paralyzed. I mean, that just is such a long fall. I mean, and it was nasty. It was a gnarly one. All right, we'll come back. We have Faye Brad, 1-1 last night, 2 games tonight. We'll get into those. And then Trista Crigg is going to join us at 1:25. Don't miss it. Jason and John, Artie Turner Family, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Leaders Credit Union. If you've been listening to 92.9, then you have no doubt heard us talk about the great folks over at Leaders Credit Union and the things that they do in the community and how their goals are to make everybody more comfortable, more financially literate, and to really help you day-to-day grow your money. Well, go to leaderscu.com/ESPN. You get a coupon code to waive your membership fee at Leaders. It's a great way to grow your money, get better rates on savings and checking. You can boost your savings with 3.75% APY on their Forward Plus High Yield Savings Account. Champion Rewards Checking Account offers 4% APY. Get over there to Leaders today, leadersu.com/ESPN. Leaders is federally insured by the NCUA and is your financial champion. All right, so we have not talked about the fallout of the prank call. It was quite the retribution for the not just the family of the prank callers, right? Jeff Ulbrich, the DC for Atlanta, but also the organization. So the NFL fined the Atlanta Falcons $250,000 for the hijinks, and they also fined the dad of Jax Ulbrich $100,000 over the leak of Shedeur Sanders' phone number and that prank call. And I guess it's not so much because it was his son that did it; it was the fact that it was on dad's iPad where the information was procured, and they did admit that. They did concede that in the in that statement. So the NFL said, hey man, this is not about to be a thing every single year. We are not about to sit by and let some idiots prank call, our athletes, and we're going to make sure that we, because I think this is, the numbers are crazy. I know for an NFL franchise, $250,000 is nothing, but to you and I, that's a massive amount of money for a prank call, right?
I would consider firing him if I were blank.
Yeah. I don't know how they feel about that. I don't know sort of where that is.
It's how good you think Ulbrich is. Number one, their defense hasn't been that good. Now, deemed him the guy that's going to be the one that turns it around, sure, but you tell me. I don't know.
I don't have a Ulbrich, super strong opinion. I wasn't impressed with him with the Jets last year. Yeah. But to the Falcons, $250,000. I mean, that's a lot.
That's what
I'm saying.
If I'm blank, it's I don't care about the $100 he has to pay. It's the $250 I have to pay.
Exactly.
This is little boy stuff.
For your
this is little boy
ass,
stuff.
Yeah.
You're supposed to protect the disclosure or prevent the disclosure of confidential info, and that's what this is. All that stuff on his computer is that
100%.
And so to, I don't care that it was his son.
Yep.
You know, this is it's bad security, but it's just, you know, just absolutely irresponsible.
Totally.
Of Ulbricht to have this available anywhere and to not have this stuff packed up, man. So
yeah,
I don't care that it was his own blood that did it, and you know, you can't control what your son's doing. You raise him up, whatever. I'm not gonna sit up here and say you should have raised him better. I get kids make mistakes or whatever else. But
well, he's 21. I mean, God. I mean, if he was 14, I'd have a little more grace for it. I think the kid is probably just a stain. He's probably just a douche. You know, he's just walking around Ole Miss.
What
are
you doing to him, Dad? Paying your $100,000 fine. 100%. How are you disciplining your 21-year-old son at that point?
He's cut off.
Would he owe you? He's cut off.
He's cut off.
You're gonna owe me. You're gonna owe me some money.
Yeah.
Like part of your earnings going forward, you're gonna have to pay me.
No, see, I don't know. With you, man, we know how you get down. A lot of people talked about yesterday at the game, you know, you go out of your way to protect CJ. You not making him pay you back. It's just not happening. I'm sorry. Huh? I think you'd have forgiven him. I think you'd say, CJ, you know, maybe you take your pound of flesh with him. You maybe like, but I don't think you'd make him pay you back.
You lost your mind. I'm cleaning out his leader's account right now. The future leader's savings account. If I owe $100,000, what that little peanuts he got in there, those are mine.
Even though that's he's making the grades.
And again, yeah, you know he's making the grades. What are you talking about?
Okay.
And then he's got in this case, Ulbricht's got a grown man.
That's a 100%.
Who clearly hasn't learned his, you know, a good enough lesson at this point. He thinks he could do this at that age.
Yes.
We got to hit him harder.
That's what I'm saying. That's
we got to hit him for the whole.
That's
what
I'm not helping you do.
Cut off. Well, I would have been cut him off. What are you talking about? I mean, he's 21 at some point. Chris might be getting cut off at 18.
You know, he's an Ole Miss, bro. You know that dude's getting money from his
parents.
He's
been eating his parents' money for too long. That's what I know. He's been eating off them for too long.
Yeah.
And clearly, this is evidence of that.
He's at Barry College.
What is that?
That's
Division Two.
Yeah, it's like Division Two or Three. Yeah,
bro, he would owe me because he's a grown man. Chris and I would come to a settlement because he's so young,
right?
And definitely taking over his future leader's savings account.
Yeah,
that's mine right now.
Yeah. Well, no, I would 100% do that.
I mean, I'm lucky I kept my job. Absolutely. What are we talking about here?
Because the NFL does not play that stuff, as we know. I mean, we've seen.
Well, they got problems all around now because they had other guys who got prank calls.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, this year in the draft.
Yep. I don't know if they all came from them, but
no, I don't think it was all the Falcons, dude. Yeah. I think this one's just Shadur, but there were other guys. There was a list. I thought
there was Tyler Warren got one. Uh-huh. Some other guys.
So, I mean, again, what's going on across the league with the protection of this information? Seems to be pretty loose. Got to tighten up, Goodell.
There's no doubt. I mean, because somebody's getting some information somewhere.
Well, you know Dion's all up in his office. Let's get this shut down. Absolutely. Y'all embarrassed my son.
But that was definitely a that was a punitive response from the league. They're basically saying, hey, if anybody is associated with your organization, you know, if it comes out that it's from you or whatever, we're hitting you very hard.
Now, George can tell us whether that Jets defense. I mean, y'all there's some players on that defense. How good's Ulbricht?
Ulbricht's a really, really good defensive coordinator. The issue with the defense last season was a problem once he left the coordinator role and became the interim head coach. They went from a top five defense to a bottom five defense once he had to start taking on more responsibility.
Yeah.
I think he could turn the Falcons D around, just like Rob Saleh going back to San Fran. So, I think both those guys are really good defensive minds.
That's what they've got him pinned as the turnaround guy, and why he's not fired at this point.
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll see, but it seems like for now they're just going to have to. I mean, concession price is going to go up now at Mercedes-Benz. You're not going to get your little $2 hot dogs no more. They're going up to $3 now. Thank you very much.
He'll just raise up the price on ovens at Home Depot.
Now, why can't we do that? I mean, what makes it so that the
just take it on that end. You'll pay more when you go to Home Depot. Are you a Lowe's man?
I think I'm more Lowe's. Yeah. I think because there's a Lowe's closer to my house. You know? I mean,
convenience thing.
I mean,
what are you, a Lowe's or Home Depot man, George?
You know what? Usually it depends what I'm buying.
So you guys aren't you guys don't there's no loyalty whatsoever. You just do it because it's close and convenient.
Isn't Marvin
and
Ellison the CEO of Lowe's?
Memphian.
Yeah.
I do believe we have a Memphian involved.
Yeah.
If not the president or something.
Yeah.
Right.
He's the CEO.
Now I will say for most of what I end up getting, I usually go to Lowe's, be that, you know, stuff for the garden, you know, little things like that.
Yeah.
I usually go to Lowe's for that.
Yeah. Marvin Ellison is on the board of trustees at the
more reason for us to pick
University
Lowe's
of Memphis
over Arthur Blank's Home Depot.
That's right. I also did not know
I've
Arthur
never
Blank
met,
was
yeah,
Home
never.
Depot.
You didn't know Arthur Blank's Home
not.
Depot?
That, I did not.
Well, that's it, bro.
That's kind of surprising,
money.
Yeah.
That's the money, man.
Yeah, I did not know that. But yeah, Marvin Ellison is a Memphis guy.
I knew you had brought that up before.
University of Memphis.
I knew that we had somebody pretty high up on the Lowe's chain.
Yeah. So
get that guy on sometime.
It's going to be tough when you got people on the show saying they'd rather go to Home Depot. I mean,
did we say that, or did I just ask you guys what was your favorite?
I think
you felt some judgment when I looked at you about Lowe's. That's what I think happened. I don't believe I said anything.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean,
I didn't pick one.
I love
the other.
To support, you know, the company that has a brother in charge, right? I mean, that's another added bonus. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It was right after how close it was.
I'm like, I'm woke like Nancy Pelosi. You know. Mm. That's a
John
great
is,
thing.
John is just digging over there with that Home Depot shovel he's got.
No, I don't have a Home Depot shovel. I have a Lowe's shovel, as you know.
Everything Lowe's now for you.
Nothing but Lowe's up in my house.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I buy American and I buy at Lowe's. You know, that's one thing you're going to have to learn about me.
Prices will be going up at Home Depot to pay this fine.
Yeah.
Since you're keeping Ulbrich.
That's right. So, it's the response is in from the NFL. They are they're coming down pretty heavy. Pretty heavy. What was the fine for the Deflategate? I'm gonna look that up. Was it? It was only $1 million. So this is, you know, I mean, I granted that was in 2016. So that's basically like $10 million in today's dollars. But still,
didn't they get fake crowd noise too?
Who?
Falcons.
I didn't know that.
Did they get fined for that?
$350,000 and a draft pick.
Jeez.
The draft pick is kind of crazy.
Did y'all remember that?
I don't remember that.
I remember hearing the story. I don't remember the penalty.
It was back in, it was 15. In the midst of two losing seasons, they had pumped in fake crowd noise, got fined $350,000, and stripped away of draft pick, suspended team president Rich McKay from the squad, from the team for 3 months.
That's crazy.
No, that's a penalty.
Pumping in crowd
that's
noise.
Stiff.
Well, that's what I mean.
Blank's used to getting. I mean, this is he's used to getting fined here.
The NBA did that during the bubble. I mean, it was terrible.
Yeah,
y'all remember that?
Yeah.
It was like there were so many things that the from the bubble that we'll just never. I mean, it was just surreal. Remember they had the beer the cam they put up like all the faces of your if you were watching on your computer they would have
the little screens. And
yeah,
the seats.
Dystopian. Yeah. It was like. It was crazy. It was terrible.
That back then, they wrote Arthur Blank. The whole episode's been a huge embarrassment for him. On top of firing longtime coach Mike Smith after last season and dealing with criticism over a pricey seat licensing plan to help fund the team's new stadium. Maybe that's why part of the reason why he had to do such cheap concessions to help offset that bad pub they got about the seat licensing plan.
Yeah, man, the bubble. That was a strange time in the world. And then you had like the protests and like we're not gonna play and then we are gonna play.
Clean it up, Falcons.
Crazy. All right, we'll come back. I don't know. Is Brad around? Gonna do Fade Brad?
I believe Fade Brad is up after this.
And then Trista Crick's gonna join us at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.